The following Dharma talk was part of a 3-hour Introduction to Mindfulness workshop offered at Common Ground Meditation Center, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I'm going to take a little time now to talk about working with obstacles in meditation. And actually, I'm kind of going to do it in two ways, talking about obstacles in getting to the cushion and obstacles after having got to the cushion. Mark talked a little bit about some obstacles that come up in practice. He talked about sleepiness and agitation and some ways that we can work with that. In terms of having a commitment to practice and to actually sitting down and doing the meditation, oftentimes there are quite a few obstacles for us to get to that place of regularly sitting. And so it's good to be aware of what our particular pattern is in that. One of the things is just kind of a inertia or a resistance to practicing. It's kind of a subtle thing. It's kind of like a thought of, we have an intention to practice. We set an intention to sit down and meditate. Maybe we decide that the morning is the best time for us to do that. And so we decide that that's when we're going to do that. But then we wake up, and this time of year it's cold and it's very comfortable, and we kind of think, well, maybe tomorrow would be a better day to get to the cushion, because maybe I can lie here. I think I can lie here and meditate just as well as I could if I got up and went and sat down. So the mind is very tricky in that way. So it's really good to have a place, if we can, you know, just a place where we have a cushion or a chair that is in a quiet place that's designated for the purpose of sitting down to meditate. And then to be aware that obstacles are probably going to arise for us in terms of getting to that chair or quiet place. So just to be aware that inertia, sometimes there's just like, we don't even quite know, there's just a resistance. It's almost like the thought arises, oh, I had an intention to meditate, and it's gone. And all of a sudden we're eating breakfast and on our way out the door to work and say, oh, I was going to meditate. Well, tomorrow. You know, and then that's kind of a pattern. So it's good to keep that in mind. Another obstacle that Mark didn't cover is doubt. And that is a big obstacle to practice. That's maybe one of the most difficult obstacles that can arise. They can arise both while we're sitting or while we're intending to sit. It's kind of like, well, is this really going to do it for me? Am I able to do it? Am I capable of doing it? It seems that whenever I sit down, I either fall asleep, or I'm so restless that my mind is going here or there, or all I do when I sit down is just continue to plan about my life, or I continue to reminisce about my past, and, you know, maybe I'm not doing it right, maybe I can't learn to do it right, there's going to be all kinds of doubts that can arise. So one way that we can work with doubt is we could maybe remember this afternoon that we had an intention to come here, and that when we were here, meditation sounded like a really worthwhile thing to do. So maybe we can recognize this is just an obstacle that's arising, this is just doubt, and I can just either see if I can be aware of it and just recognize it as doubt. Sometimes we need to just change the ideas that are going through the mind and to instead replace that doubt with confidence. But maybe we can remember a time in the past where we had a good experience in meditating, and that can give us confidence to continue to sit down and practice. Probably a big one for a lot of people in our society is busyness that was mentioned earlier. We've got a lot going on, and it seems like taking out even a half hour from our day gets really hard. It seems like, well, if I just get this taken care of or that taken care of, then, you know, then I'll be able to sit down and be more focused. But of course, there is usually no end to busyness if that's the particular obstacle that is an obstacle that's particularly popular with us. We can understand that that actually sitting down and meditating will help us to understand why we need to be so busy, why we're distracting ourselves by constantly having activity. What is that about? We can investigate that. So it's good to make an intention to have a place to sit, to have a time to sit. And it's different for different people, too. For a lot of people, in the morning is a good time, because if we get into our day, we just get busy, and by the end of the day, you know, we just don't have the energy to sit. But for it, you really have to investigate for yourself what works best for you. Maybe it's not possible in the morning. Maybe after work, maybe in the evening. What you have to look at your own life and see what makes sense. But just to make that commitment of having, it really helps. If you don't have a particular time that you allot to the practice, then it's really difficult to remember to do it or to actually do it. And also, it's really good, like, if busyness is one of your things, to be sure that, like, your cell phone is turned off or that kind of thing, that during that time you don't, you make a commitment not to answer your phone or your computer's beeping in the back, whatever, you know, would distract you from that. And just on a practical note, too, it's helpful to have a little timer or a clock they sell little timers that you can set for over 30 minutes, whatever you choose, and that can be helpful just so you don't have to be kind of constantly looking over to see what time it is, because that can be a distraction also. So then, when you actually sit down to practice, of course, there are obstacles that can arise to being mindful, to being continuous with your awareness. Of course, a big one is the mind being busy. So Mark introduced somewhat the noting technique of noting the in-breath and out-breath, the rising and falling of the abdomen. And so you could also use notes to for mental states that are arising. So if you're planning, like you're doing a lot of planning about the future, about your day, or about next week or next month, you can just, when those thoughts arise, you can just use that soft whisper of, this is planning. And you can repeat that every few seconds, this is planning. Or whatever it is, if it's remembering, maybe you're remembering something from the past, and instead of getting caught up in the story and trying to solve the problem of the past, or you can just notice that this is remembering. This is the way remembering is. Judging is another thing that often comes up, and again, just noting, oh, this is judging. This is the way judging feels, the way the thoughts in the mind are, and the way the sensations are in the body when judging is arising. And just to be open to that without judging it. Mark mentioned a little bit about working with pain. Sometimes when we're, if we're sitting, if there's something that's actually, we actually have a physical problem, then we probably need to sit in a different posture, like if we're sitting on the floor or something, maybe we need to sit in a chair. But if it's just, like the aching in the knee that is gone a few minutes after we stand up, then it's something that we can work with, something that we can investigate and be open to. Our conditioning is mostly that whenever there's something unpleasant, we immediately try to escape from it. We're not interested in the unpleasant. Our coping mechanism is, let's do something about that. And but it's really valuable to investigate that and to see, to actually turn towards it, and to see what that's about. What is that experience about? And to, I know sometimes people, like frequently when you're sitting, like your leg might fall asleep or something like that, and people sometimes get worried that the mind can kind of build on that, like, oh, I'm causing nerve damage or something like that. And, the mind can kind of spin off on that. But, and of course, we never want to do any physical damage to the body through sitting, but also we want to not take the opportunity to investigate the pain, because we can learn some very interesting things by doing that, some very important things. Sometimes we can also, there's sometimes pleasant states that we can become kind of lulled into and not aware of. And so sometimes there will be, we might find ourselves like fantasizing about something, some pleasant experience or something. Then it's good to, we can just note those thoughts, just pleasant. We might take a look and see it's very helpful to be aware of thoughts and then to see what effect, what sort of sensations are going on in the body that are associated with those thoughts. And of course, then there's the obstacle of just sort of spacing out. We're not really sleeping, we're not really awake, it's just kind of, we're just sort of not quite there. And that can be kind of a tricky one too, because sometimes it's hard to be aware that we're spaced out. But when we become aware that there's nothing that is drawing our attention particularly, then we can kind of know that we've probably been spaced out, and that just starting over again, coming back to the body, and starting over again with the breath, being aware of the sensations of the breath, the inhalation and the exhalation. I think that at this point we'll do another short guided sit. And so if people want to just take a minute to stretch again and so we'll sit for about 15 minutes now. Bring the awareness to the overall body, sitting. Feel the touch of the sitting bones on the cushion or on the chair. Relax the shoulders. Relax the temples. Relax the jaw. Feel the sensations of the breath as they enter the body. Helpful, you can use the whispered note of in at the beginning of the inhalation and out at the beginning of the exhalation. Or if you're focusing at the abdomen, rising on the inhalation, falling on the exhalation. If the awareness becomes drawn into something other than the sensations of the breath, either sounds in the room or thoughts in the mind, sensations in the body, you can let go of those and return the awareness to the sensations of the breath. Now let go of the awareness of the breath and see if the awareness is drawn where the awareness is drawn at this moment. And investigate that object. Is it sound? Just let the sound be received. It's an unpleasant sensation in the body. Be aware of its qualities. Is it aching or sharp or dull? Is it solid or is it moving? Does it have distinct borders? Or are the borders fuzzy? Another obstacle, agitation, sleepiness. Be aware of the qualities associated with that phenomenon. And then be aware. Does the awareness stay with that phenomenon, or is it drawn someplace else? Now once again, return to the sensations of the breath. See if for just these last couple of minutes you can be aware as continuously as possible of these sensations, the breath in and out at the nostril, rising and falling at the abdomen. Slowly stretch your legs. Now we can take a few more minutes if people have any questions about any obstacles that arose during this guided meditation, or if there's something, if you've been meditating and there's something that is tends to come up for you. Yes. Hey, your name is? I don't know the reason why, but is so is that like what happens when the breath speeds up?
It just
And you feel that that's like a distraction for you, or you're just wondering if it's a problem?
I'm not sure. Like, I think at the very beginning, it just starts to slow down.
I know sometimes that when we get very focused, that we can sort of, the breath can kind of tighten up, and maybe that's what's happening. And then, but it's fine. Then it sounds like the body's adjusting to that, and it's. We're not trying to make the breath like continuously deep or continuously relaxed. We're just trying to be open to whatever the process of breathing is. So, that's a good awareness that you're aware of that process, and just to be open to that is good.
I have a similar but different experience where usually once or twice through meditation I'll kind of get on with like a vacuum breath, where all of a sudden I'll need to take like a really big breath. This kind of happens, and I don't know why either, but I feel like it might be because I get so just kind of relaxed that my breathing slows to a point where I'm like, oh, that's not quite enough, almost like a yawn, or if I get really tired and I'm kind of slowing down, I yawn really big.
I think it happens for me when I notice a distraction that has caused me to start thinking. When I realize, oh, I'm thinking, I have to just try to let go of whatever thought is. And go back to the breathing.
I'm just wondering, when you have distractions, is the intent to try and let them go as you're meditating so that you can reach a kind of calm state, or is the intent to pursue what is distracting when you're meditating?
Well, the distraction is something that we become aware of, that we're caught up in, that we're not. So if we're if we've chosen the breath as our object of meditation, then we we'll be with the breath for a while, and then usually the mind will go off into something. And so if we can, if we say, oh, we become aware the mind is off thinking about something. If we can, if it's just, whatever, we're not probably, maybe not even exactly sure what the thoughts were. That's often the case. We just, oh, there's some thoughts, maybe. And we can let go of them. We can come back to the breath. Yes. But with the obstacles, what happens is that it sometimes, you know, like there's, maybe there's some thing, you know, that arises, some memory or something that really grips us. And then, you know, we're not able to just let go of it and come back to the breath. So then we can be aware, we can see what that is. Oh, this is judging, or this is sadness, or this is fear. And then we can, we're not, you know, it's like it's really gripping us so that we can't be focused on the breath. So then we can be with that and to open to it and to investigate it and then see what happens to it. And usually at some point it will be gone and we can come back to our breath. Or maybe it's a pain in the body. And then we can, you know, where we can, we maybe try a couple of times to come back to the breath, but the awareness is just there. And then we try to be open to that and be alone with that until that passes, and then we can return to the breath again.
The intent is to try to be focused on the body and the breathing at the end of the day, at the end of the sitting, do you think, or is it to pursue what it is that is bugging?
Can you hear a question in the back? It's hard, you said? Yeah. Oh, you need to repeat this.
Sure. So she asked if the idea is then to pursue this distraction or to come back to the breath, and particularly at the end of the sit.
At the end of the sit.
It's at the end of the sit, it is probably good to let go. You can, at this particular one, we came back to the breath, which is fine. Sometimes, like Mark had us just sort of be generally aware of what was happening. So there's not any, you know, specific thing. It's more that during the meditation, the breath is like an anchor that when we get lost, we can, it's something that we can come back to over and over again. Are there any other things that came up for people in terms of obstacles, either miss it or
I kind of found that I was trailing off and I wasn't really paying attention to what you were saying. I was just making my own thoughts. Okay,
no, you must pay attention.
Especially to
Gail. Well, I think that's probably being distracted into thinking. So it's not so much coming back to, you know, what I was saying, but you know, to come back to the object of meditation. So, again, when we realize that we've become distracted, where our minds have wandered off into thinking, then we always want to, at that point, come back to the anchor of the breath, rather than just sort of spinning off and continuing to be, because that's our pattern of what we're doing.
So when you're trying to guide the meditation, you're trying to bring back focusing on the breath, maybe it brings back the distractions that we're pursuing, perhaps?
Yeah, just because a lot of times we're not even aware that we've wandered off for quite some time. And so if we're meditating, of course, when we're meditating on our own, we're going to be the guide. So, but then it's okay. I mean, that's just a natural phenomenon. And it's not like we're saying that, I've been bad, it's just, oh. So that's the nature of the mind. It's wandered off. But I have an intention to come back to the breath when that happens.
One of the advantages of the noting technique is if we're noting the in and out of every breath, then when the mind wanders, we'll stop noting. And then that's like a way to more quickly recognize that the mind's wandered, because there's no noting going on. And then we go, oh, and then we can start noting, oh, thinking, or whatever is present then. So there are various techniques to help us when we slip away. But that's, that's the obvious distraction is our minds tend to slip away from the present moment. And of course, when we've slipped away, we don't know it. And that's what we'd like to learn to recognize more quickly.
When you mentioned investigating a distraction, can you explain a little bit more about how that investigation can happen, or how far to take it before returning to the breath? Is it just kind of the sensations and direct experience, or is it also kind of more cognitive processes?
Well, if our mind is, if our awareness is drawn to, like say, a strong sensation in the body, and it's, it's an obstacle when our mind is like really gripped by that, and so then we can, to the best of our ability, we can try and be open. The investigation is like having an openness to that. Sometimes it helps to have a more detailed awareness of it. That can help us to be more open to it. And the idea is not to change it, we're not trying to, if I investigate it, maybe it'll go away, or we're just trying to kind of let it unfold however it's going to unfold, and to be open to that. And sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't be open to it. Sometimes maybe we need to change our posture, it's too intense. We need to make a change. Sometimes, there was a pain, we were aware of it. Pretty soon, we notice we're off thinking about something, so then we can come back to the breath again. So, part of the investigation is to see that the changing nature of things. So if there's, like, sometimes there'll be a pain, we don't really pay attention, it's just like, you know, it's so gripping or something that it just seems like it's just this solid thing and we've got to do something about it. But a lot of times if we can bring some awareness there, we can see, oh, you know, now it's gripping, now it's releasing, now it's burning, and now it's aching, and in that way we can understand the changing nature of experience. So I think that time for talking about obstacles at an end. So
nobody should have any more obstacles.
Perfect clarity about obstacles has been reached.